As the oil spread, Samuel Skinner, the Secretary of Transportation, summoned Admiral Paul Yost, Commandant of the United States Coast Guard, to a meeting at the White House. They waited in the West Wing for President George H. W. Bush, a former oil wildcatter who earned his fortune in West Texas before embarking on his career in politics, intelligence, and diplomacy. That spring, President Bush was preoccupied by events abroad, spreading dissent in Eastern and Central Europe, pro-democracy students camped out in Beijing's Tiananmen Square, and the rising radicalism of Mikhail Gorbachev's perestroika. Admiral Yost had made his professional reputation as a patrol boat commander in Vietnam. As Coast Guard Commandant since 1986, he had pulled the service toward military discipline. He banned beards, earning the enmity of a generation of officers, and he moved to install naval weapons systems aboard Coast Guard vessels. In the Oval Office, Yost briefed President Bush on the military-like dimensions of the Exxon Valdez crisis, trying to explain what was needed to mobilize in a major oil spill and what Valdez looked like, with one or two motels and one or two little restaurants, as Yost recalled it. Bush looked at his watch. "I've had the German ambassador waiting for 10 minutes," he said. "I've got to go see him." The president turned to his chief of staff, John Sununu, a former governor of New Hampshire. "You take this into your office and get this thing moving," he said. Yost trailed Sununu through the West Wing. When they sat down, Sununu told him, "Admiral, you're going to Alaska, and you're going to supervise this oil spill." "Mr. Sununu, I'm not going to Valdez," Yost answered. "I can't run the Coast Guard from Valdez. It's a worldwide operation." Sam Skinner laid his hand on Yost's shoulder. "Paul, you're going to Alaska." By the time he arrived, the debate about chemical dispersants was no longer relevant. On the night of Sunday, March 26th, about 72 hours after the initial grounding, a fierce spring storm raged through Prince William Sound. Southwesterly gales up to 70 miles per hour blew and scattered the oil from the sea surfaces around Bligh across to Rocky Island beaches dozens of miles away, on the far side of the Sound. Night Island, Eleanor Island, Ingot Island, Disk Island, Naked Island. It was as if someone had blown very hard on an ashtray and scattered its ashes. The swirling winds were so strong that crude even appeared in treetops on the distant islands. The gales rendered the earlier debates about chemical dispersants academic. If they had been applied all out during the first 3 days, they might have reduced by a little the amount of oil that the winds blew, but not enough to forestall catastrophe. The storm transformed the cleanup. Now the challenge became to remove the contamination from dozens of beaches during the summer months before the snow and harsh weather of late autumn returned. Otto Harrison, a bespectacled veteran of Exxon's international operations and offshore oil production, led the effort. Harrison was to work alongside Commandant Yost. Exxon reported that it spent $2.1 billion on cleanup operations in 1989, and even some of the critics of the company credited the vigor of its efforts once the operation became organized. Disagreements persisted, however, about whether Exxon was doing all that it could. In public, Exxon President Lee Raymond suggested that the corporation would take its orders about its cleanup decisions from the Coast Guard's on-scene commander. "That is the man we look to," he said. "That is the man who approves our plans." In private, Exxon and the Coast Guard found themselves in conflict. "The Commandant didn't get along with Otto Harrison at all," Yost recalled. "His Exxon counterpart was a big man. He made decisions very quickly. He stood by his guns and he wouldn't be pushed around. I told him what to do, and he sometimes did what he wanted. It was that kind of a relationship. But he was good. He was plenty good." To build political support for Harrison's decisions, Raymond and Lawrence Rawl flew regularly to Washington to meet with Sununu, Skinner, Interior Secretary Manuel Lujan Jr., and Environmental Protection Agency Director William K. Riley. In Juneau, they pressed Governor Cooper and his aides to back Exxon's cleanup plan. Commandant Yost argued about the number of workers they should deploy on the beaches. Yost told Harrison that he wanted 5,000 people hired for the summer cruise. "Admiral, I can't support 5,000 people on the beaches, Harrison replied. Then get the support up there. That's your problem. I want 5,000 on the beaches. I'm going to the White House on this, the Exxon executive said. Go ahead, Yost replied. Soon the commandant received a call to return to Washington. He met with Skinner again, and the transportation secretary accompanied him to the White House to see John Sununu.
Admiral, Sununu announced, I'm not going to require 5,000 people on the beach.
In that case, the Coast Guard commandant answered, I can't guarantee the president that this is going to be cleaned up this summer. He added, Let the record show that you've got a very unhappy commandant.